Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. It's your guy right here in Oklahoma City, Brother Baba Wichtofa, father of many nations, better known as the Tree Shaker. I am him, Michael Washington, right here in Oklahoma City again. I and my co-host, Mayotte Yubo, is not here yet, but again, we'd like to recognize her as being the hostess with the most as well. We have a good show on here for y'all tonight. We just want to thank those of you who are tuned in, and hopefully we'll give you something that will enlighten you and give you a better understanding of who you are, what you are, and what you may be going through after the broadcast ends tonight. We're going to do a little bit of, as y'all know, a little bit of rendition with my great, beautiful late songstress, Whitney Houston. And after that, we're going to come back with the topic of our program, which again is finding and supporting offenders in achieving reintegration, SOAR. So let me say that, and we'll be right back. Give me about a minute and a half. Y'all stay tuned. Don't go away. All right, now. Everybody, that was my girl, the late, great Whitney Houston. She died so tragically, and, oh, man, but her music lives on. Again, y'all, tonight, we want to thank y'all for joining into People Power Radio, where we are, Mayotte, myself, and Michael Washington are your hosts with the most right here in Oklahoma City, and we're going to try to give it to you like you came in and what you tuned in for. Hopefully, once again, you'll leave the show tonight with something that will inspire you, to motivate you to get up, move about, and be what you can be, the best that you can become at any and all costs. Hopefully that will get you, will get your motor running. Tonight we got a special program tonight. We have one of my actual co-sponsors in our event that we're going to have coming up on April 9th. She's going to be here. Her name is Miss Cynthia Thompson. She's over the supporting offenders in achieving reintegration after they've gone to incarceration. She will be hopefully be on later tonight. And if not, we'll definitely be able to have, we have enough ammunition between myself and Mayotte and others who will be on that we can definitely keep the show rolling. But hopefully she is able to join us in a little bit of time. Again, you know, you already know we have me out again, my co-host over here. Like I said, I'm glad she can't reach me because I've been kind of talking crazy. As long as I'm long distance, more than a mile away, I ain't got to worry about it. What's up, man? What's going on with you there? What, talk to me. What's happening? What, you just came on? What you been doing?
I say, you know, I've been working a little bit more than usual, but, you know, I always find time to, you know, conversate with people and to, you know, kind of, it's all, this is how I look at it. Every conversation is a opportunity to awaken someone or to help them see correctly, you know, what's actually going on out here. And even our Caucasian counterparts, I've had a conversation with one of them today about, you know, they said that y'all people didn't, I was like, you know, that pertains to people that are still stuck into, you know, yesteryears, that are still operating on racism and, you know, being prejudiced and all that kind of stuff. So if that's not you, then that doesn't pertain to you. So I had to do some redirection, some educating on both ends, not only about, you know, for our people, but other people looking on the outside in and, you know, explaining them that, you know, the way we believe or, you know, us empowering our people is not off based off of racism. It's based off of empowering our people. You do yours. You know what I mean? Type thing. So just some miseducation, but guidance in the right direction. That's needed on both ends.
Absolutely. And, Maya, I'm glad that you brought that up. You have to realize, too, just like what you're into, people have a strong sense and fear of the African-American male and female here in the United States in the Western Hemisphere of what we call the diaspora, again, from the African land. But they have a problem with the fact that it's no doubt that we were the first human beings on Earth. It's no doubt we had the first civilization, the first democratic societies. We mummified our remains, you know, did irrigation and stargazing and so forth. There's no question about all that from which every other obtained that knowledge from. So why would you get mad at your older brother or sister?
On your Bluetooth phone.
You know, why would you get mad at your older brother and sister for actually helping you gain a knowledge and perfection and notification of yourselves? So that is a real big problem that we have today. You see? So that this is why I wanted to know, as you just stated, people using this unnecessary racism and all this that's going on. Oh, I see my sister. I think she just popped up, Sister Cynthia. And again, if you give me a minute, Sister Mia. How you doing, Cynthia?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm doing good. My co-host, Miss Mayotte, your boy, she's on the line as well. We have two times a week that we do our regular radio show on Saturdays and Thursdays and Saturdays. And again, we are delighted to have you on the show. Mayotte, say hello to Miss Cynthia Thompson.
How are you?
Yeah.
I'm doing well. How are you this evening?
I'm doing wonderful.
Good.
She's only doing wonderful because I made her mad and she can't reach me. She ain't going to be wonderful if she can't.
He's the hardest person in Oklahoma City to keep up with, girl.
Oh, man, I tell you what. Y'all have me going. All right, y'all, tonight, everybody that's listening.
I'll be trying to move down through there.
Definitely. We're making it happen. Y'all, it's good. Again, we have our sister here with us. She's also partnering with Empower People Incorporated. Tonight, she's going to be talking about supporting our offenders in achieving reintegration. It's actually, she's the founder of it, and we just want to let everybody know that she would be speaking momentarily, but if I can, if y'all can just give me a little bit of moment to kind of highlight what the show is about tonight and give you a little bit of information and history on it, then we'll definitely turn it over to her. And, of course, we also have others who will definitely want to speak on it, and, of course, my co-host definitely has some enlightening information. She always wanted to share her thoughts and opinion, and that's great. So, again, Sister Cynthia, thank you for joining us tonight. And hopefully before I say too much here, we can definitely get you in on the show. But before I go anywhere else, let me first of all congratulate you on your happy birthday that you had yesterday.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you.
You thought I was going to forget that.
It was a delightful day.
That's good to hear. I mean, all praise due to God that we have our birthdays here and that we're round two witnessing. Let me just say very briefly, y'all, it was in 1996, 26 years ago, actually 36 years ago, when former President William Jefferson Clinton signed into law the three strikes and you're out rule. As a result, that caused the nation's prisons to become overflooded with men and women who were stuck behind bars and, in fact, were not allowed to get out because they were three-time losers. It didn't make a difference whether you were a violent criminal, smoked marijuana, or did a burglary. It didn't matter what the case was. Three strikes meant you were out, meant your time on the free world was over with and done with. So the three-strike rule in prison today is still very active, and very many people are still experiencing it. However, there will be some that we know is going to get out of prison pretty soon. And this is the reason why we have our sister on the show tonight, Sister Cynthia Thompson, who is also, again, with her program, SOAR, which is Supporting Our Offenders in Achieving Reintegration. So, again, we're going to let her talk to us tonight about what she feels about why that's important for her to be in such a prestigious program as it is. I've done my research on it, but, again, I don't want to reveal too much until she's had an opportunity to let us know what she thinks about it. So, Ms. Thompson, if you would, talk a little bit about SOAR. What is that about?
Well, SOAR, and let me throw a little correction in there. SOAR
okay.
is not something that I founded. It is a program that was actually instituted over 30 years ago by church by the United Methodist Church here in Oklahoma City. But church women, a little group of ladies, Church Women United, they come together, and what they would do is they would get churches and church bands and come together, and they would load children up from all over the state and take them down to Dr. Eddie Warrior's to have a play day with their mothers. And the purpose of doing this was to try to keep the family united together during that incarceration stage. And I became a part of the program 5 years ago. And the reason why I became a part of the program, because I myself have been incarcerated. So that's
one of the main
reasons why I know the necessity to have programs out there that are beneficial to help people when they transition out of prison. Now, Church Women United, SOAR was basically just, again, to keep the family united together by taking the children to have a play day. And the prison system would host this play day, and we would take the children down there. Well, since that time, the little ladies, all of the little ladies pretty much have passed on and went on. And the last lady
that was over it,
Phyllis Byerly, she decided that she was going to put it into my hands for me to carry it on for them. So I inherited SOAR. And in the process of inheriting the program, I just added more to it. Because being an offender myself and being through the prison system and being through the process and knowing the things that people need, I was incarcerated, and I just recently celebrated my 25-year anniversary of being sober and clean. Because of going through the drug addiction, because of going through the prison system, I have been able to learn what is needed for a person to go through something like that and get out and change their life, turn their lives around, and be better than what they was before they went through that system. So that's what my goal is with SOAR. Go ahead. I didn't hear you.
No. I was going to ask you, what are some of the programs you say you added your own to, and what were some of the ones before you made your own inroads?
Well, for instance, I have received a full pardon from the state of Oklahoma.
Okay.
I've also did a total expungement, which is a very costly process, but I did it myself. Number one, I didn't have the money to afford, you know, to do that, to get a lawyer, to hire a lawyer and go through all the processes. So what I did was I learned the process myself. So one of the things we do is try to help people accomplish those things. Not only that, There's housing that's available here in the state of Oklahoma. There is job readiness programs. And so we act as a referral program to help people, guide them to different entities that will help them along their way.
Okay. Absolutely outstanding. You know, that is great. Maya, I know you got a couple of questions you want to ask. Definitely, you know, to jump in when you get ready. Like I said, you're the host as well. I mean, so,
okay.
But I just wanted to say, you know, you got to talk to me. What you think about what she's talking about?
I mean, I feel like it's a very beautiful thing to have someone that has already been through that process, being in the system and coming out and knowing what people need when they come out. It gives you a better view of a future for the particular individuals that you work with or the particular
Amen.
Individuals you want to rehab back into society. And it's very essential to, you know, make sure their ducks are in line and make sure the
yes.
things that they need are in line when they come back out here. Because, like I was saying a couple shows ago, their objective is not to rehabilitate our formerly incarcerated individuals. They
uh-huh.
want them back into the system, you know, because it's an easy thing for them. Okay, well, they've been in before. So as soon as we think that they're doing something wrong, we're going to bring them right back in, which brings
mm-hmm.
us more revenue, more money, and continue
yes.
to fit to our agenda. So breaking that cycle of repeated offenses or repeating the same acts that
cycle.
Ultimately uh-huh. had them in the system before is, you know, we have to break that. And with people like
we have to break the cycle. We have to break the
yes,
cycle.
And having programs and having things that where you can give them or point them in the right direction is essential.
Mm-hmm.
And it's beautiful to see, you know, other individuals, other organizations actually attending to the needs of our people and not
Definitely.
Just sitting back and watching it happen.
I see.
And that's
Go
one
ahead,
of the
then.
Things that I strive to try to do is to give back what I was given, because there were people out there that gave me the support that I needed that enabled me to be what I am today. And a lot of things that they say you can't do, you can't own a home. I own my own home. You can't vote.
Uh-huh.
I've been voting for years.
Watch
you know,
it.
It's stuff out there that people don't know that they can do. And they don't
That's
realize
important.
That, you know, God allows us to go through some things to help us to be better, to give that testimony to others, people who are coming through and going through what you have gone through. A lot of people can get out and they can talk about it, but if you've never been through it, you don't know what it feels like
mm-hmm.
to get out and have nowhere to go or to be separated from your children. You know what I'm
yes.
saying? Or, you know, can't get a job because you got that felon name on your back. And I like to say, you know, that's their foot on your neck.
Yes, it
yep.
is. Because yes,
that's
is.
What's
so,
hindering you. That's what's holding you down.
So do you know of any, you may not know off the top of your head, I just kind of may took it by surprise. Do you know of any felon-friendly jobs available out there for people who may want to get out for the first time and, you know, reintegrate back into society? You know, like you just said.
Well, yeah,
no,
there's
gone
a lot of them.
Years.
The simplest jobs that's out there, Sonic, McDonald's and Sonic, they hire you. There's
okay.
other
oh.
jobs. There's other, you know, better jobs, better paying jobs and better jobs
service.
And stability and what have you. But, you know, no, I'm talking like Mecklenburg Duncan. You know, at one
okay.
point I knew that they were hiring people. You know, there's
okay.
Precision Parts, I believe it's called. And these are just right off the top of my head of places that I know that have hired people.
Okay.
Have felons.
All right. That's what,
so
again, that's perfect.
There's a whole felon-friendly list out there, and there's a lot of places that we'll hire. But the problem is the people will get the job, and they won't behave themselves or act in the
right,
manner that
right,
they need to
right,
act in.
Right.
And so then that makes people afraid to hire.
Yes.
But there's so many people out there that are willing to give people a chance But the people that they're given a chance to, they have to be willing, a willing vessel for people to work with them. So that's where a lot of the problem comes in at. It's not that the jobs are not available. It's that the people, when they get the jobs, they don't treat the people right. So that makes them afraid to even deal with them.
Oh, I got you. Definitely. You know, that's something we have to deal with. A lot of people don't realize what you just said was absolutely perfectly on point. Let me ask you this. Like I said, if you got some questions you want to ask after this, feel free. But let me say this here to you. Do you actually go into the prison setting systems and whole programs
and
things?
I am a badge volunteer for the state of Oklahoma. I go into the prisons. One of the programs that we have, I am with Hillwood Missionary Baptist Church under the direction of Pastor Arthur L. Rainey, Jr., and he has been a strong advocate, as well as the late, great Pastor Woodbury. That's where I started out at.
Yeah,
I started out at Mount Olive Baptist Church under Dr. Woodbury. And if it had not been for him, I can definitely let you know that I couldn't be where I am because he took a chance on me.
And that's what helped me
to move forward. But we have every year before the pandemic came, we had a program we call Connect the Dots. And what I would do is the Department of Corrections would allow me to go in and we'd bus the inmates to the church. They would come out and we'd have a conference just for them. And it's called Connect the Dots. So I would have different entities, job readiness programs, Dress for Success.
Oh, yeah.
I've had different people like that that come, and they would speak to them. The last one we had, believe it or not, right before the pandemic hit and we weren't able to get them anymore, was we had a health for the inmates.
Oh,
and that's just bringing them in, educating them, helping them to know how to take care of themselves. Diabetes, high blood pressure, those type of things. So I had a doctor come in and she spoke to them. And so that's some of the things that we did. We could bring them out, take them to church and take them to, you know, different functions that they needed to go to, like interviews or funerals or what have you.
Whatever we could do
to work along with the Department of Corrections to help them help the people that they have in their care.
All right, ma'am. What do you think about what she's saying?
I did have a question. For other people that, you know, I know we have a broad audience, you know, across the state. Do you offer anything that would, you know, help in other cities? Or do you know other organizations that, you know, work along with you with other individuals similar to yourself?
One person that I know that one person I know is Donna Thompson. She's with the Oklahoma State Baptist Convention Prison.
Yeah, that's right. I know her.
And she has several different entities throughout the state of Oklahoma. And that she's been working with, that she works with different churches and different entities throughout different states. I mean, not different states, but throughout the state of Oklahoma.
Yeah, and she's got a Baptist convention. They throw a prison Baptist convention they do as well, too. So that's, I think that's coming next month as well.
That's part of the
Oh, wow. Mm. That's beautiful.
Yeah,
so,
and that's why I said.
And she's actually got a conference that's coming up. She's going to be hosting, and I don't have the dates right before me, but I believe it's coming up in June.
But yeah, we'll find out.
And don't quote me on that, but I can get that information to you at a later date. But she has a lot of information as far as, you know, what's going on across the state as a whole. Because, like I said, that Oklahoma Baptist Convention is kind of like, you know, different churches throughout the state.
I've heard of it. I know about it. I've been to them before. I actually had a booth there before. Mayor, do you want to add anything, a comment, or further? You move on, or whatever you want to do with it.
That was one of my main questions. Other than that, I would love to get connected with everybody, you know what I mean, and, you know, see where we're going, because you know, ultimately we all have to work together. Some people choose not to work together for whatever reason.
Oh, that's tough.
You know, to each his own. That's fine.
Yeah,
to each his own. That's what you have to do. You have to let people do.
It must go on.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to.
Yeah.
But, you know, to just get well acquainted and get in contact with all, you know, anybody that's on the mission to really rehabilitating our people, you know, that's one
mm-hmm.
thing that I would love to do. It's beautiful to see that and not only to be a part of it and to contribute, because we don't know how big things can get. We don't know how it's going to impact the more that we combine or the more that we help each other or the more that we show up to each other's events. It shows unity. It shows actual progress to our people to see us not bickering and fighting or, you know, really working. Set the example, pretty much. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
That's exactly what it takes. And that's one of the reasons why my conference was called Connecting the Dots.
Gotcha.
Because we are all dots in this community. We're all dots in this whole scheme of things. And it takes us all coming together and connecting those dots. It ain't no big I's and no little U's, because it's not about mm-hmm. us. It's about the people
mm-hmm.
that we're trying to serve,
mm-hmm.
the people that we're trying to help do better. So I'm fully with you. I'm on the same page with you on that one. It's about coming together and trying to make something happen, because our state is in a bad situation.
Oh,
I mean, how can we be number one in the world for female incarceration?
Wow.
I mean, in the world, how can we be like that?
And third for men.
We are just a small speck in this world. And in this United, we ain't going to call that anything.
Yeah.
In the sect.
I call it United Snakes. I mean, because that's what they do. I mean, they perpetrate a fraud. I mean, they are locking people up. There's an $80 billion a year lockup industry. So you tell me they're not money-driven? They're not trying to let anybody out, even with the reform programs that are going on. It's not, a lot of people are not getting out as many as should be, and it's not because they're a threat. As a matter of fact, history has shown through scientific measures that locking people up, it does not make society safer. So why are you doing it then if it's not for the sake of money?
Right.
You know? So that's where our mindset is. Now, speaking of collaborating, Ms. Thompson, Cynthia, I call you Cynthia again. You can't catch me. I got to worry about neither one of y'all. But,
that's all right.
But
I'm fine.
Hey, but anyhow, speaking of unity and coming together, you've partnered with Empower People Incorporated, my local nonprofit. Let me first of all ask you, are you a nonprofit yourself?
We're working on getting our nonprofit status in place.
Okay, no problem, because actually I can help you with that as well, but that's why I asked you now.
Well,
but
we certainly would appreciate it. We have a lot of put together, but we're in the process of getting that paperwork taken care of.
Yeah.
So
you can definitely
help us with that.
Well, not only that, you got more people who are excited and will get deeply involved when you're talking about helping to reestablish and reassert people who have been away, like say 10, 15 years, 5 years, what have come back out into society, and to give them a place to live, or maybe help them get a car, a job. Well, that's what my Empower People Incorporated, that's what we do. So we're glad to have partnered with you in that regard. So again, in a sense, we are like twins in the light. So speaking of that, that's something we're going to have on April the 9th at 10 o'clock to 4 o'clock. That's what I really want you to talk about, since we got a large audience of people. We got people in Denver, Colorado, various other people that's being hooked up at Tulsa and things that's listening. So tell me a little bit about what that's about. What Soil and Empower People Inc. is going to be doing on April 9th?
We're going to have a community Easter egg hunt and pop-up shop. We're going to have vendors to come in, small business owners to come in and show what they have going on in their lives as far as their small businesses go. And then we should have over 600 or so candy, eggs, and boiled eggs.
Wow.
And we're going to have a big community Easter egg hunt that starts at 2 p.m. And we have a full snack bar for people to come out and eat. And then we're going to have some educational materials to pass out to the community. It's just to try to bring the community together.
Yes.
On a positive note, to do some positive things and get some positive information.
Yes, we're going to definitely have it available. Like I said, we're going to have doctors there, sociologists there. Yours truly going to be speaking at the mic. You know, I love to speak, y'all. So I don't care if you like it or not. No, let me quit. No, you know.
We can't out-talk you, that's for sure.
So y'all doing all right. Y'all got to talk with that guy. Hey, I no comment. I'm taking. I'm gonna plead the fifth, and I'm gonna use a little long. I'll plead the fifth. Yeah, but anyhow, we're gonna have poets.
So
like I said, we're gonna have.
If you're in the Oklahoma City area and can be available, bring the kiddos out and.
Yes.
And like I say, we're opening the gates, and we're gonna have those eggs out there, and we're opening the gates at 2 p.m. And I don't want to be left with any eggs, so I need all the children.
Oh man, me either.
Out.
Now you say eggs. You say gonna be candy and stuff in them. Is that what you
say?
Gonna be candy and eggs?
We got some candy eggs. We got some boiled eggs. We even got some golden eggs. It's got a little money in it for them. So you got to be on your. You got to be on your hunt.
I tell you what. It's over with. I'm gonna be the 3-year-old. I don't want nobody else coming. I want all of it.
Hey, I'll be there.
May I? What you say?
I say, y'all see me.
Hey.
Y'all show up.
Man, I need to be the 3-year-old or the 4 or 5-year-old looking on. Y'all keep the rest of the kids at home. I'm taking over. Now, I'm sorry. I'm going to have my little piggyback. Man, tell me candy and goodness and all, man. Yeah, definitely, y'all. All seriousness and frankness, we definitely want everybody to come out, man. It's free of charge. Just come in, just have a good time. Just mingle with the people, y'all. It's about community love. We don't care if you're black, white, pink, purple, orange, green, or gray. You come on
it
out. It's your day to day.
We're all one family.
Yes. They're going to be singing. We're going to have singers. We're going to have, like I say, poets. And, again, yours truly will be speaking at the mic. We want to talk about all the community advancements and how we were lifting as communities and things and how we want to continue to network with others out there. I mean, we just don't want to exclusively have what we're doing alone. If we can help you out, please let us know. I mean,
no.
It's all about unity in our community, you know. So tell me about
that. And then I forgot the most important thing. We will have live bunnies, too.
Oh yeah,
human bunnies, not real rabbits, but human bunnies that come out for the, you know, they can take pictures with them and just have fun with them. Human bunnies, not little rabbits.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
A big much.
All
but
right.
We will have human bunnies out there so that. You know, if the parents want to bring the kids out and take Easter
that's
pictures
what we're gonna
with
make sure.
The bunnies, they'll be there between 1:30. They'll be there from 1:30 to 2:30. So if you want to take pictures with the bunnies, you need to be there during that time.
Okay, and then we're going to also make a little, hopefully everybody tonight, I'm going to put a little Facebook peg adding about, I forgot about the Easter eggs and the live bunnies and all. So we definitely want. I want to do a live on that probably tonight as well, because that's why I wanted to. Two days before we start, that's why I wanted to come on the show.
I posted it, and I tagged you in it. So.
Oh, did you? Okay, good. Then I'll go ahead and share with others around the world. It's like we're doing tonight as well. We got people already hitting the line up, talking about they wish they were down in Oklahoma City, because they would be definitely a part of it. Thank you, Rachel, for saying that. We appreciate you up there in Chicago, Illinois, brother Bob, Bill. Bob William, oh, call you William, that's cool. William up there in Detroit, Michigan. Right, all right, brothers and sisters. Again, I can't name all y'all, but you know I love all y'all, and we're definitely going to give you a shout-out because, again, this is y'all radio station. We're just here, the host with the most, Brother May, Sister Mayette and Brother Michael Baba, we're top of Father of Many Nations. We're just here for you guys. Again, we seek nothing but your pleasure, your knowledge, your wisdom, and your understanding as to what we're talking about tonight. Again, we're talking about a radio show tonight. We're talking with our beautiful sister right here in Oklahoma City who partners with us. And her program is Supporting Offenders in Achieving Reintegration, and it is called, the acronym is SOAR. So we want everybody to soar in life.
Mm-hmm.
All praise due to God. So go ahead on. What'd you say?
I just say we just want everybody to soar in life.
In life, yes.
It's there for them to do. Just soar in life. We also will be having future events, so that I want to make everybody aware of. We're going to have a Juneteenth. It's going to be on the 26th of June. And then on the 6th of August, we're going to have a back-to-school giveaway. So we will be taking donations of backpacks and school supplies for that event.
Yes. Yes, we will. As a matter of fact, I'm glad you come along when we did and start partnering with us, because last year we had, oh, my God, we had standing room only. We was passing all kind of stuff out. And again, we still have the same hookups with the Oklahoma Thunder. We have Devon Energy downtown. So we definitely got the hookups. There's no question. But we have to get on them, like I said, in a month so they can go to a corporate office, you know, let them know that we want to do it. You know, and, oh, yeah, we had it going.
Y'all always have to let people know in advance.
Definitely. You know, so they know, get everything. You know, when you put out, give your plans out, they can send it up to the corporate ladder and, you know, approve or disapprove. They really hadn't said no to us yet. I mean, like I said, we had, oh, man, we had tables full of stuff right out there. As a matter of fact, on 23rd and Bryan, another place of mine that we can start meeting as well. I've got a shoe in with a brother who owns some property out there. So, again, we'll probably use some of his places and spots out there. And he has a big old nice restaurant he lets me have, and all the front outside, a big old large patio, big old area fields. We could have, if I'd have been thinking about it, we could have done it out there. But next time we'll do it out there. But, again, you know, we still got other events we can do, the back-to-school thing out there. I tell you, just like last time, oh, man, it's all kind of black businesses that's in a row right there. And, oh, man, we highlight them. You know, that's why they like us coming around, because at that time we have people, you know, doing T-shirts and the restaurants are open and just various things. I mean, we try to give them the spotlight as well. Again, being a community activist, that's what I'm all about, man, promoting. If you're on our side, if you live in our community, we ain't going to discriminate. If your business is in our area, we're going to promote you as well. So we got a new Del Rancho over there as well that they've been recognized us. Hispanics got it. So, again, they're donating to us as well. So, y'all, we're going to be fine. I just want everybody to know that.
Okay.
So, again, I say, go ahead, Mayad. You were going to say something. I'm sorry I cut you off. Oh, she probably had moved. Anyway, Sister Cynthia, so talk to me about it. So how long have you been doing what you're doing now? So you say you were incarcerated. When did you start getting involved with the women that you were speaking about?
Well, once during the last leg of, I went to prison twice. The first time I went to prison, it was like a vacation, home away from work, kids, and bills. So I didn't really learn my lesson. And then I got out a year later. I was back in prison.
Wow.
And I was there for 4 years. So during that 4 years, I decided I need to try to figure out what's going on, because I'm too old for this. And I started, you know, looking at the prison. I was looking at the people that ran the prison, looking at the programs that they had in the prison.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what was offered to me while I was in prison. And so after I started going to Mount Olive, and they had a prison ministry, and they had women there that was, you know, they would give us clothes and help us to be dressed nice when we come to church. And I grew up during that time. But I also learned a lot. And like I said, Pastor Woodbury, he believed enough in me till he put the prison ministry, put me over the prison ministry. And we became one of the biggest prison ministries in the state of Oklahoma.
I remember Brother Woodbury.
We would pick up men and women. We'd bring them to church. And what those people had gave me when they was picking me up, bringing me to church, I started giving to the people that we worked with.
We
so
got your
from there, it just kind of happened.
Okay.
Everything has just kind of happened. I fully believe that God allows you to go through stuff for a reason. And I think this is the reason why I went through the prison system, so that I could learn of it. And like I said, I got a full pardon today. And that was a chore. I had to go through some things, and I learned a lot about how what the process is that you have to go through to get a pardon, because it's not just putting a piece of paper. Oh, it took about 2 years.
About 5 years. Huh?
About 2 years for me.
Okay.
It took about 2 years, and you actually have to go before the parole board to get a pardon. even after you put in the paperwork. Okay. But your credit has to be straight. You have to have your credit straight. You have to have, you can't owe, you know, like if you, the funds and stuff that you have to pay when you go to prison. Fees and fines, yes. All that has to be paid in full. There's you just have to show that you're trying to do the right thing, basically.
I got you.
With yourself.
Show you're worthy.
With yourself. It's not with anybody else. It's because by fixing your credit and by paying off your debt, you're fixing you. Does that make sense?
I got you. Yeah, I see.
So,
definitely.
Yeah. So that's
we had gotten okay. We had gotten disconnected with Sister Mayotte. She's back on a show with us tonight. I'm glad that you were able to get back on. So Mayotte, she was telling us about all the stuff that we're trying to do together. I'm glad that we have you on board. So we just want to know again, like I said, you say you talk to young children and things basically daily on your job, the various jobs that you're on. So tell me what you think as far as what we can do to add to future projects with respect to community gatherings. Again, it's all about community. It's not about me. It's not about Cynthia. It's not about you. It's not about Bob. It's about all of us collectively together coming in and uniting and building a better society for all of us to live in, to educate ourselves, and so on. Talk to me on that.
My biggest thing, my two biggest things is, you know, knowledge of self and walking as an example. Because I feel like those two are powerful in itself in order to change the minds of our people, in order to get them to see what's going on in the repetitive cycles that, you know, the oppressor tries to put us in. And that's one way that they're, you know, I would say that that's one advantage that they have over us is because they control most of the media. They control what we, what is taught in schools, in churches or in large settings or in conventions. They control some of those things in order to still keep us at this surface level to see us succeed. So those are my biggest things, you know, with anything, given an Afrocentric point of view, incorporating who we truly are as people. At an early age, not saying that it's not essential throughout life or throughout the life cycle, but, you know, informing them to embrace who they are, not to hate other people, but
absolutely,
to embrace
absolutely.
Who they are is the key to it. So, yeah, anything involving adding our culture to it or adding, you know, history, our history to whatever event or whatever
convention or
it's very important, and then us walking accordingly. If we are, you know, promoting, you know, good health, let us, you know, try to strive to be in good health ourselves, so that they will be more influenced to go down the right path the first time around. You know what I mean? So that you know, hey, I've been through before. This is where I've come from. Da 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 da, and they will see the actual change in you. They can see the principles instilled in you because you walk in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
anything that we do, we have to be an example in order to make a huge impact on our community in any way.
Wow. Well, I mean, you said that to the perfect T. And Sister Cynthia, you got something you want to add to that? I mean, you definitely came out and influenced people after recognizing. Mm-hmm. Let me first say it was encouraging for you to say that you've been incarcerated and what you're doing now. That took a heart. Talk to me about what she was just talking about.
I just, everything she said is dead on point. That's everything she said. I mean, I don't see anything that I could add to it because she said exactly what is needed and what it's all about. And far as, you know, I'm an open book. I don't care about who knows what I've been through. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, okay?
Amen.
If it had not been, I would not be. So I don't care about telling my story. I actually have spoken, you know, I go in and I talk to people and I try to tell them what I've been through and let them know that you're not alone. You think that because you're going through it, you got somebody that's going through it, that's been through it and understand.
That's great. Oh, man, that's great. Well, y'all, let me say something as well as when you talk about incarceration, to incarcerate a person, you're talking about taking in at least $26,000 per person that you lock up. Now, those monies would be diverted to another area of educating folks, putting them in jobs, getting them off the streets. A lot of our people incarcerated today are homeless. They're drug addicts. They don't have that. A lot of them is mentally ill. So you should be
mentally
incarcerating
ill.
People like that.
Don't forget the mental.
Yes. Yeah,
don't forget the mental, because a lot of people, I didn't just wake up one day and decide I want to be a drug addict.
No, I got you.
That wasn't that. I didn't wake up and say that. You know what I'm saying?
That wasn't
my career plan.
Mm-hmm.
But it happened. And it happened because of things that I went through in my earlier childhood years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like baggage that I've taken on, you know, and molestation, abuse. You know, even growing up and picking the wrong men and being going through abusive relationships and all this kind of stuff.
Wow.
You know, and men go through it too. It's not just a woman thing. It's a men go through it too. But see, men are trained not to talk. They're trained to be strong, but they're they have issues and problems too. And so they need to know that it's okay to talk about it. It's okay to tell this story.
Come on.
It's okay to get that junk up out of you, because that junk is what's keeping you sick. That junk is what's causing you to be where you are in life.
You know what?
We have to target those children. We have to start at the kids, because those kids, especially today in time, because we got the coronavirus, we got the world going crazy, everybody is doing this, they're doing that, and it's acceptable. And so we have to start with the children. Because a lot of children, their parents are in prison or on drugs or whatever.
That's right.
And then
they got
an 80-year-old grandmother that's trying to take care of those children that parent that's absent. So the children are having these issues and problems that they're going to grow up with if we don't step in and intervene and help them.
Wow. Oh, my God. See, you know what? Go ahead. You know, Mayotte, all that you're talking about as far as the women abuse and all that, you don't know. We have a program now, Mayotte and Portia and LaTanya and a few others of them we're putting together, and we definitely want you to get on our team as that as well, Cynthia. And we are addressing the issue of domestic violence. We know that 1 in 4 women are getting assaulted by men, but 1 in 9 men are getting assaulted by women. So it's an issue, true enough, with men, but that's just on one hand. So you are absolutely right, and we want to be a part of this program. We're going to put together on May 5th, we're going to have a domestic violence symposium that I always have every year. And, again, what better way to let it run into May 10th, which is Mother's Day. So, in other words, we're preparing our mothers and the society for when Mother's Day get here to kind of give them a float and kind of let it just pass on to the next phase. But having said that, I don't want to say too much of that right now. Mayotte, you talk to me about what you was talking about. I know you know a lot about that.
Oh, sure. You know, like just like I was saying, that, you know, we all are teaming up for, you know, to combat, you know, the after effects of, you know, domestic violence.
Yeah.
So that's one of my I always told myself, you know, when I had fully gotten over the effects of being a domestic violence abuse victim,
I was going to,
you know, survivor. Let me change my language. I was going to reach out to women and men that are going through those things, because, you know, that's a portion of our community that does not get addressed like it should, you know. Sometimes, I'm going to say it like this. A lot of things intertwine within our community, and we don't really see how the chain effects, you know, link together.
Wow.
You know, domestic abuse of, you know, victims or, you know, survivors of I'm going to say victims, ones that haven't completely healed from the effects of domestic violence, sometimes get wrapped up in other things like, you know, drugs and, you know, robberies and all these other things, because they don't know what to do after. And they don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
They have gotten wrapped up. They got introduced to abuse while being on, you know, some type of substance or whatever.
Yeah.
It can be. So everything connects in some weird fashion that we have to address. And I tell people all the time, we have to address more than one view of things sometimes, or we have to work together, whatever, you know, Michael's strong suit or somebody else's strong suit. You know, we all have to combat it from different angles in order to really heal our community from the outside in or inside out, you know what I mean? Depending on whatever perspective you're looking at it from, it all intertwines. And when we start solving these issues like domestic violence, drug abuse, drug addiction, wrongful incarceration, you know, us coming out of the system and not repeating those same cycles, we have to break them at every angle, because some of us have more than one battle to face. And that seems to be very prevalent in our community. Most people have more than one thing to conquer when they come out of the prison system, or, you know, before, you know, we try to address those so that we don't have our loved ones and our people going into the system because of the abuse and not being able to handle that and not being able to properly heal from it, or, you know, and all that kind of stuff leads you down that path of being incarcerated, or someone, you know, taking it to you because you are intoxicated or under the substance.
Amen.
They choose not to help you, you know what I mean, for whatever reason. They want to, you know, put you back, put you in the system because, oh, well, you're not needed out here, so we're just going to throw you in here.
Whoa.
You know what I mean? And that's very prevalent when it comes to our mental I don't know how to explain it, but our mentally challenged brothers and sisters without healing from, you know, not healing them, not getting to the root of what's going on, because they have that they have to address too, even though they are not as sharp as we are in certain areas because of their mental illness, does not mean that they don't need help too. Doesn't mean that they can't be rehabilitated into society too. I have a, you know, I have a personal story. I have a grandmother that has been ill since I was a child. And, you know, they would rather throw her in jail versus giving her an alternative way of life, putting her in a position to where she can take care of herself. You know, so I take that portion very seriously, along with abuse and every other subject. But those two hit home mostly for me.
I say. Oh, man, you know, and having said what you said, man, that was very touching, very revealing, very sincere, and I'm sure it was almost a mirror reflection what Cynthia just admitted that she has gone through. So that's what we're talking about, Cynthia, right now, intertwining the arguments and the various situations and putting them together and putting these ladies on the platform, letting them reveal things, and as well as me, and I had one man on my last show like that we did, actually, we're letting him talk about how he was abused by a female. So we're not trying to discriminate. It just so happens that women are more abused, more so three times more likely than men are. So this is what we're trying to say about it. So that's why when we say domestic violence symposiums up there, the men, as you just stated, are so embarrassed, it affects their masculinity to reveal that, hey, I was molested, you know, taking advantage of my dad, then my uncle failed on me or whatever. You know, in other words, it kind of takes me that sting. Oh, man, you big old football player, what? Oh, man, you ain't nobody, you know what I mean? So you got to look at the psychological trauma of revealing that. And in reality, society, for the most part, they must understand, has begun to embrace now these traumatic, very unsafe, unpleasurable conditions where beforehand, just like the bald head, for example, my hair is almost bald, where beforehand, if you had a bald head, you got laughed at. But now it's a trend. See, so everything comes with its passing stages. So what you think about that, Cynthia? I mean, what you were talking about?
I agree. I totally agree.
Yeah.
I totally agree on it.
So that's what we want to deal with as well. And, again, so, y'all, we want to let everybody know, again, on our topic tonight, we got about 20 minutes. So, again, we always hope what you have. We do a little round table. We give everybody an opportunity to speak on any issue that they want, because the main topic tonight, and I'll basically wind up with 5 minutes left, we'll go over and sum up what the actual show was about tonight. But at the same time, right now, you ladies have an opportunity, since we're already speaking about it, I just want to let everybody know that's what we're talking about, domestic violence and domestic violence, because we basically got what we need to say out in the open, out in the air, and we're going to continue to let people know we're going to let our light shine so that may be reflected in the lives of others. So I've said that, Cynthia. Would you like to become actually, you did tell me you would. I'd like for you to become a part of our domestic violence symposium that we got for the 5th of next month and to come out and share your story with other ladies, Mayad and others, that I basically wrap my umbrella around. And the ladies that we'll have now, they asked me to put a program together and let them have it, which is basically what I'm doing. I'm just simply the executive director, but they do their own thing. In other words, you call me if you need help. So I'm putting on a program, an event for them. And again, like I said, I'm just a, you know, creator. I mean, I don't have any authority. Well, I could say some if I want to, but I'm just saying it's up to them. If they need help, then they can holler at me. So again, well, I'd like you to be a part of that, and then they can maybe become a more get an in-depth feeling of what soil is. You know what I mean? So what do you think about being a part of that, this on the field?
That's good to me, Michael. It sounds really good.
Okay,
I'm willing and able to help in anywhere I can.
We're glad to hear that. We're glad to hear that. Because that's what we want to do. Yeah. So in saying that in retrospect now, so I want everybody to know that I'm going to just take my few minutes, and like I say, y'all can jump in when you get ready. Everybody knows me. I'm ready to listen. I talk enough anyway, so especially down at court, especially being on TV or whatever. I don't ask some people to put me on, they just do it. I mean, I'm different. But anyhow, y'all, Empower People Incorporated, where our motto is change your world and your world will change around you. I cannot empower anybody to do anything. We can say, we can suggest, we can maybe put up examples, but again, you, the audience, has to be that person to want to make that change. Now, I got a couple people on the line right now. I want to ask both of you ladies a question. I'll start with you, Mayad. Is tell us a little bit about what life was like growing up for you and why you turned to being a part of the Fred Hampton Gun Club.
I always kind of grew up in, you know, my father was a big influence when it came to Afrocentric views for me as I was growing up. And I didn't quite understand everything that he was saying. I grew up with both of my parents up until the age of 16. And after that point, of course, was with both, you know, my mother and my father still in my life. But what ultimately put me onto the revolution or called me to the revolution, as I would say, would just be seeing what life was like as an adult, you know, earlier than me becoming an adult. So I saw it, you know, throughout high school, throughout middle school. I always wondered why I was being talked about or why the color of my skin mattered when certain things came up, why history was not being completely told to me. I had a lot of questions. I was a very curious kid, so I started, you know, going to church by myself, seeing everything for myself and not letting someone tell me what's going on, whether it be media or just someone painting over the truth. So probably about the 18, I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to do my own research. I'm going to see what we really did out here. So as coming to present time, what made me join the Fred Hampton Gun Club is that I saw that they were not only just carrying guns, they were educating points of view, educating about our culture, gun education, safety, and really waking up our people to who they are, you know what I mean, and not to what is depicted out here in media. I got tired of sick of seeing, oh, the only thing that we can do is be rappers, dancers, and singers, and that, for me, I was like, we are much more powerful than just entertainment to this world. We actually have doctors, lawyers, people that save lives, you know what I mean? So I saw that it was being taught. Our history was being taught most of all, and protecting what we are building. And that's what really drew me to the Fred Hampton Gun Club. And they wasn't just talking about it. They were actually doing something about it.
Right, right, right. Okay, all right. Did I answer your question, Brother Paul? Okay, let's move to Sister Cynthia Thompson. Cynthia Thompson, what is it that motivated you when you got out of prison to come out and say, okay, hold up, I'm going to make a difference in society. I need to go out because I know I can influence people. He want to know, this is Virginia wants to know, why is it that you changed your life?
Well, I think what really changed my life is growing up, I come from a battered household. My family was alcoholic. My dad was in the military, and he wasn't there. He and my mom had divorced. And so my mother was alcoholic. And starting at, I had my first child when I was 16 years old. And from that point on, it was working, taking care of the kids. I was married to my first husband, and then I had another husband, and then I had another husband. And, you know, when I always worked hard. That's one thing I always remember doing. I remember working hard. And for me to find myself in prison, separated from the only thing that I had, which was my children, it was an experience. Because, like I said, I had good values. I was raised better. But my addiction came from young hurt, not having a mother there with me, being sexually molested by the people who I trusted to take care of me. And so that's what started the addiction.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't start that till in my 30s. I mean, and it was like I'd raised my kids, and my kids were teenagers, and they were at a point where they could kind of halfway take care of themselves. So I got
out
so Mama could have fun. And when the fun, unfortunately, was drugs. You know, and it started out as you having fun and you getting high and you kicking it. And the next thing you know, you're up on the addiction that you can't get away from. And then that addiction led to jail. And they say that's what addiction does. It takes you to jail, institutions, or death. And I'm thankful that I didn't make it to the death part, but I did make it to the jails and the institutions.
Right.
And just waking up, finding myself in a jail cell and away from my children, when I got to a point that I could get out, I knew that I'm better than this. I'm better than this. And so I strive to pick up the broken pieces that have been left behind through my addiction and through the prison time. Because not only did I hurt me, even though I didn't know I was hurting me, but I hurt the ones that I loved the most, and that was my children.
Gotcha.
And my father, I had never had him in my, he was, I knew I had a father, and I knew of him, and he, you know, did his little monthly allotment to me, but we never had a relationship.
Gotcha.
But after prison, I just knew that I never wanted to do that again, and I made myself a promise, I'll never go back into a prison ever again in my life. And I get in there every opportunity that I can. I'm going into prisons now. What I learned. I grew up in prison because prior to that, I wasn't adult. I didn't know anything about adulting. I didn't know anything about society and how to react and behave and all of that. But, you know, I'm one of those that learned life. Life was my best teacher.
Oh yes.
I can say that life was my best teacher, and so I knew that once I got out, that because I knew who I was, and I knew that I wasn't that person. I wasn't just this horrible person that did drugs and ruined my life. I knew I wasn't that person, but it happened to me. So when I got out, I made it a point to reconcile and fix my broken family, and not only that, but I wanted to help other people fix their families because, believe it or not, I knew how they felt. I knew why they were where they were. So that's why I'm an advocate to help anybody that I can And it's and believe it or not, I can just look at a person and know. I just feel it in my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been there. So
wow.
That's why I do what I do, because we're not bad people. They're not bad people.
No, you know what? Conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Conditions play a major factor in how we determine we are going to motivate ourselves. Now, listen carefully, y'all. I'm not making excuses for any impoverished communities, but I just said the magic word. When you're living in an impoverished society, what you do is you do the next best thing called survival of the fittest. You're going to sell drugs. You're going to go rob a store to make sure your family has a house, a roof over their head, and something to eat. I was raised up in a family like that. Well, again, like you ladies, I'm not perfect. I had a fatherless home. Matter of fact, I've seen where men have jumped on my mother and things. So, again, everything you ladies are saying is almost like a mirror reflection of what I've gone through. Matter of fact, I've even had to threaten my stepfather one day. I said, man, if you hear that one more time, you're going to wake up dead. It kind of shocked him. Little nigga, what'd you just say? How the hell I'm going to wake up dead? I said, I don't know, man. I just, that's all I can think of. But after that, but you see what I'm saying? I mean, I that had it been God, because here I am 13, who would ever know to say you're going to wake up dead? You know, I mean, that had been God. You know what I mean? Because it was enough to stun his mentality and make him sit up beside the bed and say, what? What'd you say, boy? I said, man, I said, you're going to wake up dead. You heard me. And I was scared and shaking and trembling, so I already know what you ladies are talking about, especially when kids hear, am I going to be the one next get beat and jumped on, you know, with the belt or hit upside the head? I mean, that goes to children's head. We be hearing a mama screaming and saying, oh, let's get him this. You know, so I already know what you ladies are talking about. And the traumatic conditions that our children face, this is why I like putting the programs out here on various topics and things that we have and going through having public forums so that we can live out. As a matter of fact, I want to do a little kind of a little screenplay here, maybe a little a play in one of these times. I'm already getting with some people. I hope you ladies can help me out. I want them to see physically a play what domestic violence looks like, even though it's a play. I want them to see. A lot of people don't really, they hear about it, but they really don't see it in live and in living color, like living out on the screen in a sense. So I want to kind of work on it with somebody like that. A lady named Aquila Butler, she's kind of worked with me on that. And once I get that together, I'll get with you ladies, and we can kind of just go out and do a little public forum on that, like a major library or something like that, a big setting, and call people on the street, let them see that this is what we want to do. So, y'all, hopefully y'all can pray with me and we can get that off the ground. What y'all think about that?
I'll say, that would be wonderful. I said that would be because, you know, I say people learn and are influenced in different ways. You know, what may not draw the attention from coming from one aspect or one point of view or one a particular event or way may not affect everybody, but coming from they're doing a theater, you know, doing a play, you know, that may draw a whole nother crowd of people that you may not have been able to reach if you just did, you know, a radio broadcast, or we just did a protest, or we just did an event, you know, so that's why it's to kind of do a little mix up here and there.
Gotcha. All right, Cynthia.
That keeps it interesting. Because like you say, you know, you got to be able to reach people. You got to go to them where they are. And a lot of times, you know, you put on a play and people that normally wouldn't go to the play may not be there, but the ones that are playgoers, they suffer the same way.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm trying to say.
Just don't know how to express it. So to just see it, you know, and that's one of the things that I really love about a lot of the Tyler Perry plays and stuff that he does, because they reach out and they do strike home. They strike chords in people.
They certainly do. I say you're definitely right. All right, ladies, we're going to do a little roundup here. Y'all ladies going to take about 2.5 minutes yourself to talk about anything you want to talk about, and then I'll take the last 3 minutes. We'll let everybody know who we are, what we do in Oklahoma City, and what our next show is going to be about. But we'll let you start off, Mayat. Actually, we'll let you start off, and then let Cynthia, and then we'll close out. Go ahead, Sister Mayat. Talk to us about what's going on.
I'm all about connecting people where, you know, where we all need to be connected.
Of course, y'all know that I'm a part of the Fred Hampton Gun Club. I run the Oklahoma City chapter. I'm the chairwoman down here. But like I've said many times, we are everywhere. If we're not there, you can be the one that starts a chapter in whatever state that you're in. Like I said, if you want to get in contact with me or the Fred Hampton Gun Club, either way, you can look up Fred Hampton Gun Club on Facebook, on Instagram. Any of the pages that say Fred Hampton Gun Club or FHGC Gun Club, you can contact or message any of us if you want to be a part of the Fred Hampton Gun Club and be a part of educating our people, teaching gun safety, teaching all the essential things that we need to protect ourselves, and not only that, protect ourselves in our minds also, and get knowledge from every point of view. You can contact me directly at 405-503-02. Just shoot me a message letting me know that you're interested in knowing more information about the Fred Hampton Gun Club, and I'll send you the information or answer any questions that you have. You can also follow Fred Hampton Gun Club OKC on Facebook. You can shoot me a message, comment on a post or anything like that. We can definitely get you connected with other people to start doing things like we're doing in Oklahoma and other states. Those other chapters are also working with local individuals that do the same thing as Michael Washington and the lady that's on the phone right now that will be working with Michael and us out here. So it's a little sparks everywhere. We'll get this
going. Oh, yes. Thank you. I'll say again, y'all, if y'all want to contact my sister, me, your boy right here in Oklahoma City, I'll contact on Facebook, Fred Hampton Gun Club, as well as her phone number is area code 405-905-0302. Again, that's 905-0302. Thank you, Sister Mia. Don't leave because, you know, we also got a few more words for you to say. Now, Sister Cynthia Thompson, what is it you want everybody else to know about before you leave?
I just want them to know that I need all these people out here at this Easter egg hunt because I'm not taking any eggs home with me. That's the main thing I need. But I just, you know, we are, one thing she said is about sparking that fire. And that's
yes.
the whole purpose of coming to collaborate with you guys is so that we can just set this city and state on fire.
Ooh.
Because we all need to come together, not only just our state, because like you say, there's other people that's on the line that's from other states. And you may have a program or something that you're trying to get done in your state. And we just want to be able to reach out and connect the dots and help one another. So that's what I'm here for. That's what SOAR supporting you, the offenders in achieving reintegration, because we got to help those people. They're a vast portion of our society, and the parents need their children. The children need their parents.
I see. Definitely. Okay. You ladies did great. Thank y'all again. This is Baba Wee Topa right here in Oklahoma City, father of many nations. We're on People Power Radio tonight. We had a excellent host tonight, which is again Sister Maya Yubor. We also had a special guest tonight with SOAR, Supporting Offenders in Achieving Reintegration, and that is Sister Cynthia Thompson. She's partnering with Empower People Incorporated for this coming April 9th from 10 to 4 o'clock. We're going to be doing an Easter egg hunt right here in Oklahoma City at 1701 Northeast Martin Luther King under the direction and control and of the enlightenment and membership of Sister Tammy Steele, who's been so gracious in allowing us to use her facilities to pull this event off. So, again, that's going to be on April the 9th from 10 to 4 o'clock. At 2 o'clock, there will be an Easter egg hunt. In the Easter egg hunt, we will have actual boiled eggs as well as other gifts and prizes in the Easter egg. So, again, you bring your children out here, everybody, because it's all about y'all. It's y'all's show. We just want to have the community to come together, a community pop-up event that's going to be benefiting the community as a whole. Again, we have two organizations and others are going to, we're going to have vendors. We're going to have vendors out here who's going to, you know, come in and sell their little products, their food and other various events. Again, we're going to have business owners and we're going to have psychologists and poets and, you know, singers and things of that nature. We're just going to have a good time, man, for about 5-6 hours. So everybody come on out. Again, this is your show. Again, I am Empower People Incorporated. I'm the founder right here in Oklahoma City. I'm founded in 2011. And we also are, I am also the founder of Oklahoma Coalition Against People Abuse, where our motto is change your world and your world will change around you. We fight for the civil and constitutional rights of jailees and prison inmates. Again, we all on the same page, y'all. Having said that, you can reach me at area code 405-246-9089. That's our organization's phone number. Again, that's area code 405-246-9089. And if you want to call me personally, again, I get so many of them, so if I don't call you back, y'all know why, because I get them ringing out there daily. But that number is area code 405-882-6478. Again, that's 882-6478. So, again, y'all, we got about 10 minutes left in radio broadcast, but what we're going to do, if we get cut off, I want to say thank you all for tuning in and being a part of our program. The next program that we're going to have is this coming Saturday night. We're going to be talking about, ironically, letting our political prisoners go. Again, we did this last Saturday. We're going to do it again this Saturday as a part two. So, again, everybody, please tune in at 563-999-3789. That's 563-999-3789. And, again, that's at every 8 o'clock on Thursdays and Saturdays. So be there or be square. Let me say thank y'all very much for joining us. Again, we're not off the air yet, but I'm going to go to our back room and speak with others that's on the air with us. Again, thank you, Sister May, for your presence and profound knowledge and sharing. And, again, we want to also thank Sister Cynthia Thompson for coming on and giving us this real community an opportunity to join with her in our community pop-ups in support of supporting offenders in achieving reintegration. So, again, y'all, if we go off before saying goodbye to you, go ahead.
And that phone number is 405-863-6540 for SOAR.
Okay, again, y'all, the number for SOAR is 405-863-6540. Once again, so the number for SOAR is 405-863-6540. So, y'all, we've given y'all our numbers out tonight. Hey, don't be afraid to contact us. Man, we're not going to bite your head off. We're not going to ask for your last cookie. No, but y'all know me. I'm a star. We're not going to ask for your last. I guess Harry said, don't worry about it, man. I'll give you half of it. Thank you, man, anyway. You can keep it. But anyhow, y'all, I just love having fun, man. I'm always going to try to be a jokester or whatever. I just want to keep it lively and in living color, man, just so that we can all feel that we're important. And, again, on y'all, this is y'all's show. Let me tell y'all something, and then we're going to give it back to the lady and let them speak. Listen carefully, y'all. This is your show. There are no right or wrongs. I'm not going to get mad at you if you don't like what I said or whatever. I mean, because we are human beings, and diversity is what makes the world go round. So, again, let me give it back over to the floor. The ladies, y'all be blessed, and thank y'all. We'll see y'all next this coming Saturday. Ladies, y'all have the floor. Tell me what's going on, Mia.
Just reflecting on our conversation and the topics that we discussed, just looking at the whole map of things that we have to conquer and overcome as people, very broad, but it's doable. And we can do it as long as we stay focused and stay in tune with what God's vision is for all of us. At the end of the day, we can only conquer as much as He allows us to conquer. And I don't see any limitations. So,
that's
my opinion.
Hey, just blatant and just clear cut. I mean, just right to the point. I mean, that's what we want to hear. All right, so Cynthia, you got a minute. Tell me what's going on, y'all, then I'll say this last word. We'll close out.
Infinity and beyond.
All right. Ooh, y'all, boy, I see both of y'all. Again, y'all, I'd like to try to close out here with a little bit of prayer, and this is what Ms. Catherine Burkhardt gave me. Again, she always asks me. I know that had been inspired by God because she often listens to me doing my radio show. So, again, we want to give great respect to Ms. Catherine Burkhalter. She's here with me right now. And, again, I come over and we just have a little bit of time, especially hours like these. She said, man, you ain't going to leave me out on the radio show. You got to let me come. You know, I don't know how to get on. You want to come and let me see? So she's right here. So let me let y'all say why she's here to say a few words. Just say hello to them, Catherine, and let them know you're here. And she just want to let y'all know she's up there. Here you go. Just say hello.
Hello there. I just want to let you all know I'm right here with you. Whatever you do, wherever you go, or whatever you say, I'll be here with you. Thank you for coming. Come back again.
Amen.
All right. I say yes. So, y'all, I won't be by myself. That's what I do, y'all. I told you, I don't just kick the game, just be kicking. I'm all about Elsley. I tell you, I mean, I live in it. I practice it because It's about us. It's about the people, man. It's about those who infirm themselves and can no longer move and strive to do it themselves. That's what we're here for. So, again, I do work for the community. And she wanted me to say this prayer for y'all. May the Lord bless and keep you. May he allow his face to shine upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
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 So good night, everybody. Again, I'll say praise through to God. We just want to say that, y'all. We got about, like I say, about 2 or 3 minutes. You ladies still have the floor. Again, I've already closed out appropriately so that our audience, so if they don't think that we jumped off and didn't say a proper goodbye. So, again, y'all got the floor, ladies. Y'all got about 3 minutes. And it's going to cut us off, so I want y'all to know anyway. So, in other words, just keep talking. So, we're off the air right now. So, thank
well,
y'all, ladies,
again. Well, I just
want to
say it's a pleasure.
Definitely, it is a pleasure, too. I'll tell you. It's
a pleasure to be here.
We just thank you for coming out, and hopefully, like I said, you can continue to partner with us, Cynthia, and let's get this thing going, because this is divinely inspired by God. We didn't just pop up and suddenly come together with the things that we're doing out here.
That's
know?
Right. You're so right. Definitely
yes.
true.
Yes,
think, you
I'm
know,
telling
you.
All right.
Yeah. Amen.
So,
amen.
She's over there quoting. Yeah, I try to, like I said,
bless
man,
to
and,
you all.
Yeah, thank y'all. Y'all, we're getting ready to get up out of here. Get ready to cut us off. So, again, appreciate y'all, everybody, and be blessed and one love. And like I said, if I can do something, y'all know the contact. I may not get with you immediately, but you're definitely. You're in my heart, my prayers, my soul, and my thoughts. So, again, y'all, to get ready. We got about 3 seconds. Y'all be blessed, and if you're going to cut me off, and y'all have a blessed night, and may God bless you and keep you, and may you be safe. Take care, everybody. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Good night.